Ladies and gentlemen, it is now my distinct pleasure to introduce our United States Air Force Academy Superintendent, Lieutenant General Richard M. Clark.
When we talk about our theme, especially in today's world, we all understand how important this is. Valuing human condition, cultures, and society is something that we all need to do, not just within our own ranks, not just in the culturally diverse units that we have in our Air Force, our Space Force, our whole Department of Defense. Building that kind of understanding is key and critical, and opening up dialogue so that we can have civil discourse, so that we can solve the tough problems that our country faces is critical. And it starts with valuing others, even when they're different from us. It is a strategic imperative, and I believe this with everything in me. This NCLS is vitally important, especially in the environment that we're in now and the environment that all of us as leaders are going to be stepping into. So I encourage you today to go out, look at yourself. What kind of leader am I? Am I the kind of leader that can do this? Am I going to be open to other ideas, other thoughts, other cultures, other people? And am I ready to be out of my comfort zone and engage and hear somebody that doesn't think the same way that I do? That's what I charge you with today. So I want to thank everyone once again for being here for this important NCLS, but thank you for being willing to step out and learn something and make ourselves better as a leader character that we need to be. Thank you, everyone, and enjoy NCLS.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor to introduce Dr. Chell N. Lincoln.
Who are the people that you lean on? Who do you connect to? In your squad, on your teams, and as you move into the Air Force, invest in those connections. Invest in the who. Because connections encourage communication. Communication enables trust, and trust is the currency of leadership, of teamwork, of being effective in your roles here as cadets, and in what you will do in the Air Force and Space Force. Invest in those connections.
Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming Mr. De Lavelle Earls.
We're all on different journeys. One book I really liked, and it really illuminated the fact that we're all going through our own thing. We're all on our separate journeys, and the cycle of the hero's journey intersect at different points, and we can be helpful to others.
I would now like to introduce our remarkable keynote speaker, Olympic gold medalist, Missy Franklin.
One thing I always have been really good at is celebrating individuality and what each person brings to the table. Like, we all have these amazing strengths that we bring that are our own.
Welcome to a special presentation of the Long Blue Leadership Podcast. I'm Navira Walkowitz, Class of 99, Air Force Academy Association and Foundation, Senior Vice President of Alumni Relations, and Long Blue Leadership Podcast host. Your presenter for this series of short-form conversations with National Character and Leadership Symposium speakers is Ted Robertson, the Association and Foundation's multimedia and podcast specialist, and our producer for the Long Blue Leadership Podcast. And now, here is your host for these special conversations, Ted Robertson.
It was my privilege to attend the Air Force Academy's 2024 National Character and Leadership Symposium and to bring the Long Blue Leadership Podcast along. We set up our studio on site and invited several of the speakers to join us and discuss the what and why behind their messages. Two of the lead cadet organizers of the NCLS event and the 2024 cadet class president visited with us to share why they are so heavily involved and what they took away from the event. And we invited the cadet hosts of the Polaris Hall podcast to share our studio space for their interviews with NCLS speakers, one of which they shared with us. In this special presentation of Long Blue Leadership, my conversations with comedian Jose Sardui, class of 99, NCLS organizers Cadet First Class Rachel Perillo and Cadet Second Class Weiss Yuan, and 2024 Class President Cadet First Class Adedapo Adeboyejo. Also joining us, astronaut Dr. Chell Lindgren, Class of 95, author and entrepreneur De Lavelle Earls, Class of 2015, and finally, making guest appearances for their interview with NCLS speaker, Olympic gold medal swimmer Missy Franklin Johnson, Polaris Hall podcast host Cadet First Class Maya Mandium, and Cadet Second Class Margaret Meehan, host of the Polaris Hall podcast. Welcoming my guest, Lieutenant Colonel Jose Sardui. You've been one of the speakers at the National Character and Leadership Symposium, 31st year. This year, there are some 6,500 participants and some 60 different programs and 40 different speakers. And you got to do the kickoff. Is it kind of a warm-up for the cadets? And how does a comedian get that job? And how does a USAFA grad who's a pilot become a comedian?
It's a three-part question. So the first thing was they wanted me for this years ago, and I didn't have it open in the schedule. And then when I got the job, I was like, what am I going to talk about? And I was like, yeah, I'll be the warm-up act for the character leadership symposium. And then I thought, what can I bring to the table? And someone who sought a career in aviation to be a fighter pilot, test pilot, shuttle commander, astronaut, and none of those goals happened. I ended up becoming a cargo pilot. And then I didn't have the qualifications really to be competitive for NASA. And so I was finding another venue. And so I found comedy. And what can I talk about? And so that's what I brought to the table today, was how to, when you fail, fall forward. And so that was the art of falling forward was the talk I gave today.
What was it that got you to the Air Force Academy from high school?
The Challenger disaster in 1986, I was in the Young Astronauts Club, and we were all actually in the cafeteria when my teacher came in, and she came right to me because she knew I was all about the astronaut program. And she's like, the Challenger just exploded. I'm going to bring everybody in the classroom. And I remember we cried and we watched the video, and I wrote a letter to Ronald Reagan and saying, hey, we need to get this astronaut program back on its feet. If you need the first kid in space, I'm ready, sir. We got a letter back. And so that motivated me. I started reading encyclopedias for fun, old school. I started doing a lot better in school and kind of scholastically accelerated. And I had seen what it took to be an astronaut. And so it was like, okay, military academy, pilot, all that stuff. And so I kind of charted out my path in 86 for how I was going to try and do it. And the academy, I tried to get in here. My best friend was actually recruited to play football here. And so I kind of would show up to the recruiter visits at his house. And I actually walked on the football team here when I was here. So, and then I got selected by both senators and the congressman recommended me. So
nice.
Yeah.
And here you are. You say the only guy on the planet that never got a B- in hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah, I got a B-. I didn't like that because I was a wrestler. And so I would be winning and then somebody would choke me. I was like, how did I lose? And they're like, Jose, you're following the rules. This is fighting. This isn't like a sport. I was like, but I was winning the fight.
Your heart is obviously never far from the academy. That's powerful. So you're back at the academy. How long has it been since you've been back here?
I was here for my 20th, so in 19.
So not too long ago.
Yeah. So I did some shows here. Yeah, some shows at the O Club. I'm in a group called the GIs of Comedy. We're all veterans from different branches who became stand-up comedians, and we tour together. And so that's always fun, you know, the sibling rivalry between the branches, and then we tell our jokes and taking you know, Army and Marines to an Air Force base is always it's really like taking kids that are, you know, orphans to like Disney World. They're like, oh my God, you get your own bathroom?
Yeah, you know. Wow. Yep. What parting thoughts do you want to leave today?
The thing that I talk to a lot of cadets so far, a lot of them have asked me questions about, you know, is what we do here going to help you in the future? And that's really the big question. And I've actually done shows for a lot of veterans organizations where you have soldiers that they're like, wow, I was just a grunt. I was an infantryman. I don't have any skills that can really translate to the other, you know, to the business world or to the life in general. It's like, are you kidding me? You know, time management, you know, basic management, how to lead others, you know, how to be led, you know, how to, you know, like support a leader. Like these are invaluable skills that you can use anywhere in any version of life. And the ones that you get here, it's like the first time that a lot of officers write a resume, it is so difficult for them. And that's what I would impart to them. It's like every experience you've had now and when you serve, you want to go back and look at those things with not the eye of someone who wants to be humble, but actually look back and like, how could I translate these skills to another life, to the next step, to the next thing that maybe not be military, or maybe it is a military job. And all of that will make you more effective. And again, it will always keep you moving forward. And that's really what I want to impart to anybody who serves. It is because I've started a different career. A friend of mine became a doctor after being a B-52 pilot and a T-38 instructor. She just went and became an anesthesiologist, right? Like a whole different life, which is difficult. And a lot of the skills that she learned to get there were built here and in her career. And so I'm just in accounting or I'm just in personnel. No, you're not. You have a ton of skills that are going to be useful in almost everything you do in life.
I love to say that just is a four-letter word.
There you go. Yeah.
Truly. You had to cross a pretty high barrier to get here.
That's right.
It's the long blue line. It's the Air Force Academy. You're a cadet and you're going to do great things. That's the kind of encouragement that you're offering and that you're leaving. So welcome back home, even if it's only for a few days. And if we are very fortunate and we'll have you do a full edition of Long Blue Leadership, I think that will be a fun and wonderful conversation. We'll look at that for June or July. Colonel Jose Sardui, class of 99, thank you for all you do and for your visit and the gift of your company and time for the cadets today here at NCLS. As I said, the 31st year, 6,500 participants, man. And it gets bigger every year.
Yeah, I'm honored to be here. So thank you.
Three very special guests joining us today. We are here, of course, at NCLS, the National Character and Leadership Symposium. These three, particularly special, they just got to spend a little bit of time with the new Air Force Chief of Staff for a photo session. Part of that photo session is going to include all three of them appearing on the front cover of Checkpoints magazine for those of you who are Association of Graduates and Foundation members. A wonderful crew here. Let me start with Adedapo Adeboyejo, hometown Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Yes. And right to your left is Mr. Weiss Yuan. And Weiss, Woodbridge, Connecticut. And then to my right, Rachel Perillo.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
This might be a familiar voice to some of you. You can hear Rachel on KAFA, the USAFA radio station, KAFA. 97.7 on the FM dial. Talk about the show that you do.
Yes. Most of you, if you have heard me, I go by Cadet Ray Ray. So a little bit different, but I'm happy to be here today to talk about NCLS and everything under the sun. So yeah.
Adi, let's start with you. What class are you graduating?
Class of 24.
Nice. Okay. Yep. So less than 100 days for you.
96 to be exact. Actually.
How exciting. You're the second person that's told me that today.
It's important. It's a very important number.
Wonderful. Weiss, how about you?
I'm a class of 2025, so still have one more year until graduation.
Very nice. Okay, and how about for you, Rachel?
Class of 24, and still counting down the days, yep.
All right, Ade, let's go back to you. Let's talk a little bit about your world as an Air Force Academy cadet. First of all, what put being part of the Long Blue Line in your heart and made you come and go through this 47 months of really interesting stuff?
Yeah, so I was born in Nigeria, and I moved to America when I was 7 years old. But in Nigeria, I had like this dream of being a pilot, and it may have been a dream merged with my brother as well, because he also dreamt of becoming a pilot as well. And then eventually we both came to the United States, and he went enlisted, and he found the academy through the enlisted, got recommended to come here. And he just talked to me. He's like, hey, like, bro, like, if you want to be a pilot, go to the academy. And that was like my freshman or sophomore year of high school. And from there, I was like, okay, like, that's the path. I'm going to be there. And I just did my best to get to the academy. And here, it's been, I'd say, a roller coaster of emotions, because we come in with dreams and, you know, we're ready to do big things with our lives. But, you know, things change, and now I'm not even going to be a pilot anymore. And I'm going to be a developmental engineer. So it's been an awesome ride, and I'm really glad to be here.
I'm going to ask each of you the same set of questions. And I want to finish up, though, with you, Ade, right now by talking a little bit about the leadership opportunities that you've had while you have been in the wing.
Yes. So one of the biggest one, actually, is I'm the class president for the class of 2024. And that one actually also came to me a little bit, because my roommate, Jonathan Bell, at the time, freshman year, he was like, dude, like, have you heard of this thing, class president? Like, you'd be really good at it. And I was like, oh, like, no way. Like, I don't really know much about it. But I threw my hat in the ring, went through the interview process, had a pretty good, like, video speech to probably 20 people watched. But people actually voted, and I was able to win. And that's been, I'd say, one of the biggest leadership experiences I've had here at the academy, because every year there's something new to try to figure out for the class. And even past graduating, I'll still be helping the class as well. So it's been a lot of fun.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Wonderful stuff. Weiss, on to you. How'd you find your way to the Air Force Academy? What was that day like when you put your feet on those yellow prints?
So the first day, I-Day, was definitely a long day. But I think the entire journey started back in high school. My freshman year in high school, I didn't even know about the Air Force Academy. And it was only through one of my heroes that I kind of found out. One of my heroes in high school was the late Senator John McCain. And he had a large impact on my career path. One of the things he talked about was that there's no higher honor in life than service to one's country. And that really made an impact. And I decided to look into his career path, and he attended the Naval Academy, and from there I applied to the service academies and ended up at the Air Force Academy.
Talk about the leadership opportunities that you've had while you've been here.
Yeah, so one of the biggest roles I've had at the Air Force Academy has been the cadet in charge of the Academy Oath Project. This is a project where we're imbuing oath education among the cadet wing, and also looking at expanding to other service academies, integrating oath education, civil relations, and what the oath of office truly means. And I think here at the academy, you know, a lot of cadets come in on the very first day, they take the oath of office, but they don't really know what it means. And I think as you progress on your time here at the Air Force Academy, that is one of the most important things is what is your service to, and what is your oath to? And that is to the Constitution of the United States.
And your career path.
I'm hoping to go pilot.
J-E-T. Weiss, thank you for being here. All right, Rachel, we're on to you. You are like a professional speaker. So let's talk about your path to the Air Force Academy, what your career aspirations are, and your leadership opportunities. Then we're going to go around the table one more time. We're going to talk about NCLS, what you have contributed and what you've gotten from NCLS. Rachel?
All right, I'll try to give the condensed version of the why I came to USAFA, because it can be quite a lengthy story. But long story short, I never wanted to be in the military. And here we are. I enlisted out of high school for about 2.5 years. Just wanted to serve and realized that my mom made a huge impact on me when she told me all about the time that she had when she was enlisted. But she told me about all the opportunities like that she had. And then my whole family was in the Navy. And so like my grandparents, and that's how they met and all that kind of thing. And my cousins all in the Navy. Met some really wonderful people, knew the academy existed being here. And then my commanders just were like, there's no better place than that where you should, that's where you should be. So I applied, got in, didn't have to go to the prep school, which was crazy. I didn't think that was a thing. So that was a blessing to find out. And just been here, first generation Air Force officer, when we graduate in 1960s.
No, we don't use the if word in this room. We just
until
don't
they
use
say
that
my
word.
Name and I'm walking across the stage. So moving within to my leadership positions, NCLS is my thing. I'm the cadet in charge, and Weiss, I have the pleasure of being my NCOIC. But so NCLS is just, I've worked on the staff for 3 years, and it's been my basically my cadet career. So I've enjoyed every single part of it, and we'll talk about it more, I know, in a little bit, but yeah, it's a great opportunity.
Where do you think that's going to take you when you get into the force?
Well, so it's given me a lot of opportunity to network and connect and learn how to be such a great public speaker too, and have that personality. I actually was selected to be a CISO, but I'm waiting to hear back in like a week or so to be if I'm going to be a JAG. So I think a lot of my NCLS experience was going to help in both ways, to connect with people and to connect with communities.
For the families of our audience, talk about those acronyms.
Yes, so Combat Systems Officer, think Goose from Top Gun. I want to fly in the backseat of F-15 if that's the route it ends up going in the new F-15Es. And then for JAG, it's the Judge Advocate Group. So that is the law, the legal, the lawyers of the Air Force.
Ade, back to you. Let's talk a little bit about your experience here at NCLS. Give me one standout moment and one thing that just really has lit you up and inspired you.
I think every year the senior leader discussion panel, I'm always looking forward to it. And it's not because like we have the top dogs of the Air Force there, but it's always because they have unique things to say each time that gets us to reorient ourselves on where we're going to move forward. And today, actually, I was sitting there prepared to hear gems, and I did, from General Alvin. So today he was talking about, the question they asked him was, how can the Academy better prepare cadets for, you know, the future fight? And he brought up three simple things that I think have been like juggling in my mind a little bit, but he like said it perfectly. He said problem solving, he said team dynamics, and he also said mental agility. And they talk about how we need leaders who can, you know, be agile and like change when we need to. And I really think those three things have really stuck with me here at the Academy. I think if we continue to do that, we're going to continue to prepare people, the future leaders from the Academy, to lead the Air Force where we need to go. And that was something that today, like I even wrote it down. I was like, all right, like these three things, I have to figure out how I can continue to make sure I have these things in my back pocket, so I know that I'm better preparing myself and those around me for the future fight.
Weiss?
Yeah, so I think NCLS so far has been an incredible experience. And I think one of the best parts is being able to engage with, like, you know, speakers themselves. I had the opportunity to talk with Scott Kirby, the CEO of United Airlines. And just talking with these speakers, I think it really gives cadets the opportunity to understand how these leaders think, understand their point of view on issues and what they really think and how they, you know, choose what to do. One of the examples from Scott Kirby was that he talked about how United Airlines was one of the only airlines that did not really, like, you know, shut down and like close routes during the COVID-19 pandemic. And that by doing that, United Airlines actually came out ahead compared to the other airlines. And just understanding how these leaders think has been really one of the most impactful things, in my opinion.
Was there a single bright, shiny standout moment for you out of all this?
Yeah. And I think, you know, for every cadet, there's just a different experience that stands out to them. I think every cadet has a different experience with the sessions they attend, with the speakers they get to meet in person. And I think that truly every cadet has such a unique and cool experience, even though they're all so different.
All right, here's what we're going to do next. Rachel, you get the last word on what stands out so much about NCLS, not only as the lead cadet organizer, but we also want to go around and offer a shot at final thoughts for each one of you. And then we will wish you luck and thank you all for being here.
Yep. So this year, with the theme being valuing human conditions, cultures, and societies, with our tagline of empower people and embrace culture, I think the speaker lineup that we've had this year was fit that theme to the T as much as it possibly could. Talking with Warren Akunchis and his humanitarian stuff that he was able to accomplish with the earthquakes in Burma and things like that, it was very eye-opening too to see some of the civ-mil relations that we have, especially in humanitarian issues. But for me, Brian Stevenson is one of my role models in life as someone. He is Equal Justice Initiative, Just Mercy was his book, and he's an incredible human being. And the one thing that he said was that proximity and how important proximity is. And I think that that's something that is really easy to forget as cadets, as leaders, as officers, as military members, that proximity to serve is what fuels us to then accomplish anything that we're trying to do. We're doing it for the people that have no voice, that need the help. And the only way you're going to find that and represent that is if you have that proximity. So Brian Stevenson's lecture was amazing. And I was actually sad that he could only be here for one day, because if no one was able to see that, like, please go catch it on the live stream, because that was a very impactful session.
So, Rachel, any final thoughts you want to share before we send you off into the wild blue?
I haven't done a podcast before, so this is really fun to be able to do this and kind of branch out on the airwaves. But I just appreciate being here and having everything from all the grads and the donors, like NCLS specifically, like, the grads support so much, and the AOG. And so I hope y'all know that without y'all, NCLS wouldn't be a thing. And NCLS is such a huge part of the cadet wing and the community. And it is an impact, and it does not go unnoticed.
Weiss, it's all you right now. What final thoughts do you want to offer?
Like Rachel said, or similar to Rachel, this is also my first podcast. So thank you. Thank you all for the opportunity, and thank you guys for listening. I think NCLS is a really incredible experience. I think a lot of leadership doesn't come from the classroom. I think it comes from leadership development takes many forms. And I think NCLS is one of those forms where cadets can engage with leaders, but also understand how they think and how they make decisions, how they interact with people. And I think that's one of the greatest benefits and outcomes of this program. And then, as Rachel said, thanks to everybody, all the cadets, community members, and everybody who supports it, because it couldn't happen without everybody.
Ade, we're going to end up on a high note with you, sir.
I'll keep it short and sweet. I think the academy as a whole has been a great experience all around. I know we hear like the good and the bad about the academy all the time, but when we take the time to reflect and think about all the opportunities that we've been offered, opportunities like this, podcast, stuff like that, like, it's really just kind of mind-blowing that like all of that can be in one place. And you just have to like kind of reach out and try to find it on your part as well. But I think the last thing I want to say is like NCLS, the academy as a whole, like, it's a blessing. And we have to start to reflect more on that and know how to give thanks for how great of an opportunity this actually is.
Adedapo Adeboyejo, class of 24, 96 days to go.
Let's go.
I could tell you are incredibly excited. Weiss Yuan, Woodbridge, Connecticut, mm-hmm. fellow East Coast guy.
Yep.
You got a year to go.
Yeah, I do.
You're going to make a lot of that year, we can tell right now.
I will.
Thank you for being Thank here you. Today. And Rachel Perillo, class of 24, another 96er, shall we say.
Close.
As of today. And a Colorado native. What a privilege to get to know all three of you. Thank you for joining us for your first podcast.
Thank
and
you.
I'm so happy it was Long Blue Leadership, and you've really lifted us up with all of your inspiration and your career paths and everything that you're headed for. We hope our paths cross again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My next guest, Dr. Chell Lindgren.
Well, thank you, Ted, and really glad to be speaking with you today.
Here at NCLS, theme is this year is valuing human conditions, cultures, and societies. And you spoke about how space exploration brings people together.
Absolutely. You know, when I think about my experience on the space station and looking back at the Earth, it is heartbreaking to see the Earth, a discrete entity, one planet, and to know all of the really to wonder how it is that we can't get along. And the space station is a little bit of a microcosm of Earth. We are partnered with countries all over the world to execute this space station mission. That international partnership is made up of countries that just 40, 50 years ago were mortal enemies. Japan, Germany, the US, Russia. And now we are all working together. And it is a demonstration of what we are capable of doing together. Exploring the cosmos and doing science and research to make life better back on Earth, collaborating together for things that are greater than us in a peaceful way. I'm grateful for what the space station program has done. In fact, I think that in spite of all of this, the hundreds if not thousands of scientific experiments and the research that we've done up there, that the greatest benefit that this program has provided is that international partnership, really a focus for our efforts for working together for peaceful means. And it's really a model for how we should be working together here on the earth and in the future as we continue to explore.
And all of that began with a culture that was born with the first graduating class, the construct of the academy.
That's right.
You go through it from, you graduated in 95. Obviously, things had changed a lot by then.
Dramatically. That's right.
With new technology, looking into the future as we are now with the Institute for Future Conflict, for example, and mm-hmm. cadets being trained that you have an open mind when you go out into the force.
That's right. And it was really a privilege to be able to speak in that keynote spot sponsored by the class of 59, the very first class of Academy graduates, really who paved the path for all of the graduates that have come behind them. And I had the privilege of getting to meet three of their graduates. I'm just grateful to be a part of the legacy that they created. And like them, to be able to share that with the cadets today and in the future. Our adversaries and the theaters and the tools that we're going to be using to defend our country are very different from when they started. But I think it's a testament to the academy, to the leaders here that are thinking about how to educate our cadets and the opportunities and experiences that they're providing. And things like NCLS, where the class of 59 has specifically invested in bringing in speakers that can speak to the cadets about the future. It's an amazing thing. And I'm grateful for those classes and for this NCLS program and for the investment that the Academy has made in preparing our cadets to be future officers and leaders.
So at the invitation of the class of 59 or the 59ers, you're talking to a big group of cadets in a big venue. What's your message to them? And what do you want them to take away from what you shared with them today?
You know, the message was really centered around my journey and the tools that I leaned on to ultimately get where I'm at today and to have realized this lifelong dream. And at the center of my journey is really encountering a significant obstacle in that path and really trying to connect with the who and the why, and the who being that team of people around you. That is your network. And so that is teachers, mentors, instructors, family, friends, coaches, teammates. That is your team, and relying on that team for help when you need it and being there when your teammates, when others need your help. I think that was foundational for me. And then the why. And, you know, we spoke about that a little bit, but really connecting to refining your understanding of why is it that you're on this path? Why is your goal your goal? And just spending time reflecting on that, because when you encounter obstacles and challenges, that why is very important.
Any final thoughts you want to offer before we go?
Well, again, just really grateful to be here at NCLS, grateful to have the opportunity to share a message, and specifically a message that really starts here at the Academy, a journey that started here at the Academy, and to be able to have this privilege of living and working in space and to be able to bring that message back to the cadets is very special. And among the reasons that is special is because my son is a fourth class cadet here now, and he is charting his own path, and I'm grateful for that, but he's doing well. And I look forward to seeing where his journey takes him and where the cadets that are here now and the cadets that'll be here in the future, where they will go on to serve and distinguish themselves. And I'm grateful to be a small part of that.
Thank you for spending some time with us here on Long Blue Leadership and really helping us understand that much better the essence of the Long Blue Line. We appreciate you very much, Dr. Lindgren. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ted.
My next guest, De Lavelle Earls, class of 15, also speaking at NCLS. De Lavelle is somebody that you could characterize very easily as a creator, a creative, a writer, author, maker, inventor. You've done a lot with your world since you left the Air Force. And we want to mention, too, that you have a book that has just been released. So welcome. It's good to see you.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be back at the Academy, especially for NCLS. It's always been my goal to be back. I just thought it'd be when I was quite a bit older, and for it to be because of a children's book I wrote, you know, some 9 years after graduating, it's pretty special to me, and thank you.
During your talk, you described something that you all thought was just a simple lump on your shin. Players got lumps.
Yeah.
But then you went to the doctor and you found out something a lot more serious.
Right. So, you know, I wasn't going to let my coach take me out of the game. I was going to do everything in my power to stay in the game. You know, we were having a great season. I'm a sophomore, getting the opportunity to play a lot of minutes. And yeah, no bruise on my shin, no lump on my shin was going to stop me. Our season ended. My legs still hurt. Ernie, our fabulous trainer, told me to take a couple weeks off. And I went back to shoot after those 2 weeks off, and my shin was still aching really badly. Just doing a normal jump shot, I could almost feel it separate a little bit. And he says, why don't you go and get an x-ray? And I say, okay. And what they came back with, well, the first doctor comes back and he says, your leg's fine. And I don't know what's going on, why you're having so much pain, but it's fine. Second doctor comes back and says, actually, we found the very small hairline fracture in your shin. And either you take a year off and you're off your feet for that entire year, or we put a rod in it, or you get surgery. I'm like, for a little hairline fracture? And they're like, yes. So what I found out was that surgery is potentially career ending. You know, looking back on it, I'm thankful for the trainers, for the operators, the orthopedic surgeons for getting me through that time. I'd never been through anything that serious. You know, I ended up having surgery for the next 2 years on that leg and got an infection, and it was not fun. But I finished my career. I was captain for junior and senior year. I got to play in at least half the games both those seasons. Just fighting those injuries on top of concussions and whatnot.
So at some point, your world turns back to that artistic streak you have in you, that creator that is inside of you, the inventor, the entrepreneur that you are now. You also have become an author as well, and you're out inspiring other people, which is what brings you here to NCLS. So talk a little bit about what you talked about today.
So I'm working on this fitness product while I'm active duty. Just moonlighting, trying to bring a drawing on a napkin to life to where I can sell it to a company. And I'm working with one of my best friends, childhood friends, graduate of the Air Force Academy as well. And we're working with one of our other childhood friends and just trying to make something happen. And I sat down and told him, like, hey, you know, they tell you not to get in business with your friends sometimes. And I told him, like, hey, I love you guys. And this is going to be fun for us. And as soon as it doesn't become fun, like, I'm done. Like, let's go learn something. Let's try. It's probably not going to work. And we're still trying to make it work.
Some 100 prototypes later,
yeah,
I think
yeah.
You said you've been.
I mean, it's what, 8 years out from that first drawing, right? And from all the drawings that we did and making toilet paper roll prototypes of a foam roller, you know, to the big physical ones that we could actually use and market, it's been at least 100 iterations, maybe not on the full design, but all the components that go into it with our stretching strap that connects to both ends of our foam roller, of how it opens up to hold a yoga mat, to hold a person's shoes, you know, to hold mobility tools that you would take with you, you know, to how you interact with it every day. There's a lot of prototypes.
Now the book. The title is What If?
What If?
And there's a small person on the cover.
There is.
Yeah. Some really interesting aesthetics on the cover.
Yeah.
A little bit spacish.
It is spacious. Yeah. I mean, that is at the final frontier, if you will, in a sense. Again, I like to explore. I want to encourage people to explore. I pay homage to the Air Force Academy in it and a little bit with space. Yeah.
What is the definition of success?
Enjoying what you're doing and fulfilling your potential. It's more the active pursuit of your goal than the actual result that I think, if you could be honest with yourself, that's what makes you successful. That's what I feel makes me successful, that chase.
Any final thoughts, D?
I can't believe I'm here, to be honest with you. This place has totally changed my life and made me the person I am. I've met so many incredible people. My final thoughts are, you know, no matter, everyone's on their own journey. And what I've learned over the course of being here and working outside of the Air Force is you never know your part in somebody else's hero's journey, right? You never know the impact that you can have. So, you know, driving up here today, I just remember all those relationships that I've kind of forgotten about, but just all the people that I came in contact with the Academy and how special those people truly are to me and who I am now. And I encourage you all to just connect more. And I'm glad you're doing this podcast because this is something I wish I would have had as I was entering this step in my life. So thank you for having me.
It's an honor to have you. And let's talk about What If. Where can people find out more about your book and even buy the book if they want to?
It's whatifers.com, whatifers.com. There you can purchase the book. We have different packages for nonprofits and whatnot. And you can always feel free to reach out to me through that website. Yeah.
De Lavelle Earls, class of 15, here at National Character and Leadership Symposium, the 31st. And at your first, D, we hope to have you back. And we certainly hope to get to know you a whole lot better. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
This next and final conversation in this special presentation features NCLS speaker, Olympic gold medalist Missy Franklin Johnson, and with our very special thanks is a contribution of Cadet First Class Maya Mandium and Cadet Second Class Margaret Meehan, hosts of the Polaris Hall podcast. The full interview is available on Spotify by searching Polaris Hall podcast.
Our special guest with us today, Missy Franklin Johnson. She is a five-time Olympic swimming gold medalist, a mom, and a podcaster herself. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, you guys. I'm so happy to be here.
To start us off, can you tell us why you wanted to come speak at NCLS?
Oh my gosh, why would I not want to come speak at NCLS? I am so honored to be here. I grew up in Denver, so not far away from here. So anytime I get to come home, I'm so excited. I've spent so much time in the Springs at the training center. And even here, I grew up going to the Air Force pool for swim meets. And then I think more than anything, just my respect and admiration for military. I literally wouldn't have been able to do what I did without having an incredible armed forces that gave me a free country to represent in the first place. So anytime I have the opportunity to work with men and women that are dedicating their lives to the freedom of our country, it's an incredible opportunity for me. So I'm so happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you here today.
Can you talk more about that decision to leave the sport? Because mm-hmm. I think all of us face points in our lives where we have to move on from something that we cared about a lot and mm-hmm. just having to do that without feeling like a failure. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll be honest, I did feel like a failure when I had to leave, and it was so hard. So I retired in 2018 at 23 years old. There was a lot that I went through during that time. I really struggled with my mental health, and I think it was because so much of my self-worth was caught up in who I was as an athlete. And so now when I do talk to different groups, when I talk to athletes, so much of what we talk about on our own podcast is recognizing that you are so much more than just that one thing that you maybe put your self-worth and your identity into. There are so many other things about myself that I'm proud of and that I've learned to utilize to my advantage in other spaces that swimming helped give me. And it'll always be a big part of who I am, but I am bigger than just swimming.
I think that's good advice for a lot of cadets. A lot of cadets come here with one very specific mm-hmm. goal in mind, and a lot of times that's to fly. Mm-hmm. And then things happen and a lot of people don't get to fly. Mm-hmm. And having to cope with that and learn that that is not all, like that's not your sole purpose. That's not all mm-hmm. you were, is something that takes a while to learn.
It does. And it is a really hard transition. So I think giving yourself a lot of grace when you're going through something like that is so important, and leaning on your support system so heavily. I think for a long time, and I feel like you guys will really resonate with this, there's almost this idea that asking for help means that you're not strong enough to do it on your own, when in my mind, asking for help is the strongest thing that someone can do. It is one of the most courageous things that you can do.
So you had a lot of pressure put on you very young. So what advice do you have for young people? We have cadets coming in as young as 17 who feel like they have the weight of the world on their shoulders and just dealing with stress.
Absolutely. It can be so much to deal with. And I think the most important thing is to go back to your goals for yourself. And that was something that always really stayed with me of when I did realize, and as I got older in the sport, the expectations that were on me, I was able to shift my mindset into a place of, no, this is less about these people expecting me to do these things and these people believing that I'm capable of doing these things.
I also think the expectations idea as leaders is something we always need to keep in mind, because sometimes when you're leading people, you don't necessarily want to set your expectations so high and make them feel like they can't achieve it. But if you set them too low, then they're not going to live up to their fullest potential.
All right, to wrap us up, do you have any parting shots for the cadet wing?
Really want to emphasize that enjoying the journey aspect. The destination is amazing, but one of the things that we've been noticing in the conversations that we've been having with the athletes that we've had on, we ask them about the moments from their careers that have brought them the most joy. And I don't think a single one of them has answered, you know, their most successful race. It's always been a moment on a training trip with their teammates or Saturday morning practice after you've just had a great workout and you're all in the locker room celebrating. Like, you look back with hindsight and it's truly those small moments, ultimately with the people around you and the relationships that you have formed, that have the biggest impact on you. So set your goals, set them high and work towards them every day. But enjoy the work, because 99% of our life is the work and not the destination. And if you're not enjoying it, then you're missing out on a big part of your life.
There we have it. Missy, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to this special presentation of the Long Blue Leadership Podcast at NCLS 2024. If you enjoyed this episode, we encourage you to subscribe, share it with your family and friends, post it to your social channels, and send your comments and feedback to socialmedia@usafa.org. Visit the U.S. Air Force Academy's YouTube channel at USAFA Official to see the full videos of this year's NCLS speakers. Long Blue Leadership is a production of the Long Blue Line Podcast Network and presented by the U.S. Air Force Academy Association and Foundation. The views and opinions of the guests and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the United States Air Force, Air Force Academy, Academy Association and Foundation, its staff, or management. The podcast drops every 2 weeks on Tuesday mornings. Subscribe to Long Blue Leadership on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Plus Alexa, and all your favorite podcast platforms. Search at Air Force Grads on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, and more for show announcements and updates. And visit longblueleadership.org for past episodes and more Long Blue Line Podcast Network programming.